paid good money to see this movie. When they go out to a theater, they want cold sodas, hot popcorn, and no monsters in the projection booth.
Everyone pretend podcasting isn't boring.
Turn it off.
I want to talk to you about Sophie. She's the one. Check out this bling.
What?
Marrying Sophie to get Canadian citizenship. It's brilliant.
No, Dad.
I've been asked to interview for the executive chef position at the Chateau Frontenac in Quebec City.
Quebec City, Canada?
Yeah.
A little further north.
Look at this place. 400 years of history.
Tout le monde, je présente mon chum, Gordon.
They're from New York. You're a Rangers fan?
Oh, I actually don't follow hockey.
I love figure skating.
Figure skating?
The costumes, dazzling. So you're the famous Ruby Collins.
And you must be Gordon. I never got your family name.
What the f***?
Yeah, she told me she'd been with women before, but this is her ex.
Don't work.
She lied to you.
She didn't lie. She was protecting my feelings.
Pop the question before she switches teams again.
Oh, my day was great. I tutored your brother.
Je connais un gars pour 1000 piastres. Il peut smash her legs. You know, like Daniel Harding.
I slaughtered a little baby lamb for your father.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and I also found out that you and Ruby used to be lovers.
I brought you here because of your talent, not because of our history.
I have the night off.
Are you serious?
Living in this city with my family really would be amazing.
It feels like I can't do anything right, unlike Ruby, who can do absolutely no wrong.
When a woman like that sets her sights on something, she always gets what she wants.
Want to shoot him blanks, Gordo?
I got a fish!
I love your daughter, and I'm not giving up that easy.
I am the best at car chases!
At this point, you probably all think I killed Mammy.
I didn't come, Mammy. I didn't come.
What's happening?
She's singing.
I know, it's so beautiful.
America's hidden.
Hey folks, welcome to a special episode of The Projecting Booth. I'm your host, Mike White. On this episode, I'm talking with Nicholas Wright. He is the co-writer and co-director, along with James A. Woods, not James Woods, of the new film French Girl. It is opening theatrically in Canada on March 15th, 2024, and is coming to on-demand and streaming either that day or shortly thereafter. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy this interview.
Obviously, I want to ask you about French Girl, but I'd love to know a little bit more about you. You've been acting forever. How did you even get into that?
Because my parents were nice enough to let me pursue my dreams. I had a lot of family support from the beginning, which is what definitely it helps. It's something I always wanted to do. In high school, starting in high school, I was on the improv team, and I went to Cégep. I went to college and got my degree in theater and just started working as a jobbing actor here in Montreal. And Montreal is an amazing place to start your career as an actor because it's a smaller community and you get the chance to work on some material and get some nice roles on some smaller stuff, but still like to have bigger roles on smaller things. You get a lot more experience a lot quicker than smaller bit parts on bigger things. They're all great when you're starting out, but James and I actually met and became really good friends on a feature film where we both had lead parts. And that, you know, that was like the second credit I think I ever got. It was a film called Hadley High by another friend of ours, a very close friend named Phil Price, who directed that. James and I became really close on that film. And then Phil, the director of that, cast us on a series that he did for IFC called The Business. And so we did that for 3 seasons. And that's where we really honed our chemistry, James and I, because we were playing best friends on the show. And we became really close. And then we said, we should start writing together. Phil was like an inspiration. Like, this guy can do it. Like, we can do it too. Let's do it. So we just started writing together. And then here we are all these years later with this movie, which essentially was inspired by the fact that both of our fathers are English Canadians who married French Canadian women. And we said to ourselves, that is a recipe for a classic 90s rom-com. How could people have not done this yet? This is like the lowest hanging fruit. So we just dove in and we wrote a script and then prayed to the movie gods that it would get made, and our prayers have been answered.
Is it a misnomer to call it French Girl? Should it be Quebecois Girl?
That's a good question. I guess it depends on who you ask and how political they are. I don't know. I think it's, look, the French is the lingua franca of Quebec. And so technically, no. Yes, Québécoise. You've done your research. That's really, it should be Québécoise. The French title for the film is actually Chez les Beaux-Parents, which is like Meet the In-Laws. But I think just French Girl has a nice ring to it. I think it has a nice ring to it.
When did you first come up with the idea for this?
It's been a long time, man. We did it. We originally wrote it, I think, about 13 years ago. And then we just put it in a drawer and we got busy with other stuff that we were writing and developing a lot of stuff in the States. And then ultimately we did like Independence Day. And that whole sort of thing took years, which was an amazing, incredible experience. And then eventually we got the chance to take this out and dust it off. And we got a real shot at putting it on a green light track to get made in Canada. So that took about 5 years. And so, yeah, it's been a long journey, but I think we were really blessed to have amazing producers, Valerie Doteuil and Anders Barge, who they encouraged us every step of the way. And then they were able to partner up with Paramount Global, with Telefilm, Elevation Media. It was like, at the end of the day, you just need a few people to believe and then you can make your dreams come true, which is really lovely. But yeah, it was a long process, about 13 years, all in all.
I was very surprised when I was like, from the makers of Independence Day Resurgence comes French Girl.
Why didn't they do that in the marketing? Like, come on, guys, this should be on the poster. There was an alien sequence and we took it out. We just didn't have the budget. It's such a weird thing, the movie business. You never know which project is going to go. It's constantly evolving, the business. Different market forces dictate what gets prioritized. It's literally a Plinko board. All you can do is just keep putting things at the top of the board and hope that they land in the jackpot slot. You get to do your thing. And we were lucky enough to have our dreams come true a few times, but this one is particularly special. A, it's our directorial debut, and B, it's such a story that's close to our hearts. So we're really grateful we were able to push this one over the finish line. But yeah, some very incongruous career credits for sure. Yeah.
How do you and James work together when it comes to the writing and then especially to the directing?
Honestly, we act like a hive mind. It's so weird. We have such similar cultural touchstones in our minds. Part of our friendship was forged just through quoting movies that we grew up watching, like European Vacation, Back to the Future 2, all the classic comedies. And we just knew them because we're actors as well. That's partly how we developed our own comedic rhythms, is by obsessively watching these movies over and over again. And then being able to spit back some of those things. So our friendship was forged in that way. We really just act as one brain, which is really weird. Like when we write together, it's not like somebody's dominating. We never pass drafts back and forth. We're always together in the room. We switch off typing. It really doesn't matter. And by the time we got to the directing French Girl, like we'd spent so much time on the script that all the battles had been fought. And so when it comes time to direct, we knew everything that we wanted because we'd already decided it months, years before. And so on the set, it's smooth as can be. Again, it's a hive mind. Actors know that they can talk to either one of us and we speak for both. There was maybe one or two times where there was a bit of a disconnect, but largely it was a pretty smooth process. And we'd been directing short films and sketches and TV pilots. So we'd already honed our sort of directing. That's a lifelong process, but we had a shorthand that we knew we weren't going to make a set an uncomfortable place by getting into like myriad fights over what's the color of this dress or what's the angle of this shot. Again, we work as one mind because I guess we're not smart enough to do it on our own, but together, our powers combined, we have one brain. It's always a bit nerve-wracking for actors. Like I know Zach and Luc, who are both directors, Luc Picard, who plays the dad. They were a bit like, oh, how's this going to work? But we told them this is our process. And very quickly, like on day one, they're like, oh, these guys are fine. We have nothing to worry about. Because I've never actually, as an actor, worked. Now that I think about it, I've never worked with a duo. Have I? I don't think I have. Yeah, no. So that's interesting, actually. I've never worked with it. We've directed ourselves. Does that count? I don't know. Probably not. But yeah, it must be a weird process for an actor. But yeah, we thankfully have no qualms about doing it because we're like brothers at the end of the day.
They always say don't work with children or animals, but you have both in this film.
We're such idiots. No, it's true. They do say that. No night shoots, no children, no animals. We broke all those rules. The baby was easy because we just did it one day and the rest was a doll. So that was easy. We knew that. We're like, let's not make our lives difficult. And we even changed some of the scenes where we're like, let's not have the baby in here. So the swan was actually, it's funny because like most writers aren't directors. You write something and then you hand it off. You're like, you figure out, it's your problem. Good luck. We wrote this and they were like, oh shit, how do we figure this out? And we had a fantastic animal wrangler and we asked in pre-production, what's the best way to do this? And it turns out we had to take a little swan like right away as soon as they were born and start training them. And if you can habituate them from the time of their birth, then they can actually be trained and coerced into doing certain things. So this swan was literally born to be in French Girl, which is great. And it was actually pretty effortless and pretty smooth. We wish we'd had more time to really like nail down all that stuff. Like we barely got there just as a factor of time. Our budget and our schedule was tight. So we had to maximize all that. But yeah, I agree with you. Any aspiring filmmakers out there should be, yeah, weary of doing anything with animals, children, or night shoots. Those are all really perilous kind of things to add to your schedule. And we had a few. We had lambs, we had cats, we had swans, we had ducks. Yeah, there was a lot going on, a lot, but nobody was harmed. So thankfully, yeah, only the actors. Just kidding.
A movie like this just lives and dies by its cast. And I love the cast of this film. Can you tell me how everybody came together and what it was like working with these folks?
Thank you for saying that. And I totally agree. And they made our job as directors just so much easier. Because I think a lot of directors will say that 80% of the job is done once you cast the movie. And you can then just sit back and just nudge them one way or the other. And that is absolutely true in this case. When we started dreaming of our cast, at the top of our list was Zach Braff type. And because we didn't think in our wildest dreams we could nail him down. But our fearless producers were able to ram our script through the Hollywood machine and get it to the right people. And it landed on Zach's desk and he read it and thankfully responded to the material. And after a Zoom with us, he was like, I'm in, let's do it. And so that was pretty surreal and amazing to have that phone call. And Vanessa, it was a very similar experience. We had a meeting with her and it was just like, she was such a delight and immediately responded to the material. And I don't think she gets a lot of comedy offers. And so I think that was really what turned her head. And again, she's such an accomplished, talented musician. I'm surprised. That's, I think, what gives her facility in comedy is her musical ear, because comedy is about timing and rhythm. And she's got that, man. I'm so grateful that she did this. And I hope she does more comedy. She's got her career well in hand. She doesn't need my advice, but I would certainly encourage her to do more of this because she's just so goddamn good at it. And then with our French Canadians, we were just so lucky to have basically just the Ocean's 11 of the Quebec cinema world, like Antoine Olivier Pinon, Luc Picard, Evelyn Brochu as our French girl. My goodness, like we could not have had a more perfect, beautiful, divine, lusciously gorgeous, talented, warm French girl. It was unbelievable. Charlotte Aubin is the sister. And I think our mandate going in was to cast the best dramatic actors for the role, because all those actors that I just named, like they're movie stars in their own right in Quebec, but most of them are known for drama. Like they really are always cast in drama. Antoine Olivier Pinon has filmed the Xavier Dolan movie Mama. I don't know if you've seen that film, but man, it's intense. And God, is he amazing in it? But God, it's really intense. And Luc Picard is an amazing dramatic actor. Evelyn and Charlotte, they're all fantastic. But I think when you cast dramatic actors in comedy, it's a really good thing because they play the reality and then it's funny. And I think if there's a danger of sticking stuff up, and I've certainly been guilty of that on my own end as an actor. But when you play truth and you let the truth live, and the situation is funny, then that's, I think, where you get a really good result. So that was our mantra going in from the beginning.
When did you actually shoot this?
It's 2024. So I guess the summer of 2022, we shot it. Yeah. So from like July to early October, something like that. Yeah. 2022. And we had a nice long edit period. What was great is we weren't pressured by, I don't know how we got this luxury, but we didn't have like a release date to back into, which is the death knell, I think, of a lot of movies when you're forced to back into a date, especially for comedy. Like comedy needs time to finesse. You have to be able to turn those dials and just try stuff and test the movie and see what works, what doesn't work. So we had a nice, luxurious, long editing process, which again, for our first feature is we couldn't have been luckier. It was a blessing. We tested, we had our own sort of little friends and family screening, but we tested with Paramount and Elevation and Altact, our distributors. They all made sure we tested the movie a few times. And that was critical. Like, and to sit in an audience, it's absolutely terrifying and really tests your mettle as an artist to sit there with an audience with a raw sort of cut. But it's hugely important because you right away know, like, something that you thought was working, like, you'll know immediately. Even having one other person in the edit room with you, it's so funny. There's some sort of psychic process that happens. I don't know what it is, but it's manifestly real. Like, you can feel it when you're watching it with someone who's seeing it for the first time. You've been just forced through the trees close. You just start, you start seeing it somehow through their eyes. And then suddenly you're like, how did I think this was funny? So testing is like a really important part of the process. Some filmmakers don't like it. I love it. I think it's, look, eventually it's going to be seen by an audience. So why not look at how audiences are reacting to it and help let that guide you a little bit in your edit to see where you're falling short or where you're like leaning in too much in one way or the other. We put it through its paces. I think with comedy, you have to, because we want the laughs to be there. And it's so precise. The timing is like critical on all these things. So yeah.
It's got to be difficult for you to go from the improv world where you're getting immediate feedback to, all right, here it is 2 years later. What's it going to do?
100%, which is why the testing and show it to as many people as you can. The other challenge on the comedy side was the bilingual nature of the movie and having to make sure jokes time out properly with subtitles, having the subtitles be funny as well in their own right, and giving the audience enough time to read the subtitles, soak it in, get their eyes back up. I know audiences now are used to subtitles, which is amazing, because 5 years ago when we were really starting to go get on the train to make this movie, wasn't necessarily the case. But pre-COVID, during COVID, when sort of Netflix and other streamers started importing stuff from Europe and Asia, I think audiences just really quickly became accustomed to that, which was huge. And it took all that pressure off of us. And we could just live in the subtitles a little bit more than maybe we would have at 5 to 10 years ago. But balancing the comedy in French and English was another challenge, because we just had the Montreal premiere, which was so nice to finally show it to a Quebec audience. And jokes hit completely different than when we played in Santa Barbara Film Festival, which that was the first time we showed an American audience the film, and they loved it, which was a huge relief. And we managed to get another screening out of it at the festival because it was being enjoyed so widely and people were just loving it. The French will get certain jokes and, you know, maybe not the English jokes, but then the English will get jokes that the French won't get. And so, yeah, that was an added challenge that was interesting to navigate.
What are you working on now?
We shot this pilot called The Bar, which is a show that takes place at the International Bar Association of Lawyers. Every year they meet up in a different city and just basically talk about the law, but it's really like summer camp for adults. And so we thought that was a funny sort of setting for a fun, like, hard-hitting single camera half-hour show. And every year, like, takes place in a different city. So it has a bit of White Lotus, but meets The Office kind of vibe. And so you follow your cast and year after year, like, how their lives change between bar sort of meetings. And so the first one is set in Montreal and we had a great time shooting that. So now we're just trying to finance the rest of it and get it into production. And then we have two scripts that we're packaging now. And yeah, it's just, but these things take forever, man. It takes a long time. We're just trying to make it all happen.
Nick, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for making French Girl. It was a great watch. I really enjoyed it. And good luck today with the rest of these.
I'm glad you did. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
Je ne sais quoi, un grand manet.
Oh yeah, I know.
Sorcier de fumeur, c'est que c'est.
I don't know very much.
Je me perds, je me perds, je me perds.
Bonjour.
I can't pronounce very well.
Are you here?
It's my life.
is saying because she's French. She's just a French girl. It's so comfortable, I kinda like it. Cause she talks with her eyes. Maybe we can communicate tonight.
Well, you know, you're my sweet, you're my favorite time of the baby. She's just a friend.